Take your Bible, please, and find Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. We are in the series of messages under the theme, Rediscovering Grace. We've been speaking of grace for the last several Sundays, and today, forgiving grace, freedom from bondage, forgiving grace, freedom from bondage. Have you ever been slandered? Have you ever been falsely accused? Have you ever been cheated in a business deal or a financial transaction? Have you been forsaken or abandoned by your mate? Have you been rejected by your parents? Perhaps as an older adult, you've been neglected by your adult children. Have you been the innocent party and your mate has committed adultery against you? Have you been in a social setting and been publicly humiliated? Have you ever been abused physically, emotionally, or sexually? Have you ever been the victim of a violent crime? Or has one of your loved ones ever been the victim of a violent crime? If so, it's very likely that you had the temptation for a spirit of bitterness and anger and rage and even malice to rise up in your heart and to find yourself in bondage. When you think of those who've hurt you, when you think of those who've taken advantage of you, when you think of those who have wronged you or injured you, do you still feel angry? Deep down inside, do you have a secret desire that no one knows of but you, that someday they would have to pay for what they did to you? Do you find some kind of pleasure in telling others what that other person has done to injure you or wrong you? If so, you are in bondage. But I have some good news for you today. You don't have to remain in bondage. There is freedom for the sons and daughters of God. And so this morning I want you to think with me about forgiving grace, freedom from bondage. Just two verses of scripture for our consideration this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Right under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Paul the Apostle penned these words. These are penned to believers in the church in Ephesus. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we think this morning about forgiving grace. I want you to see with me just two simple principles, one in verse 31 and the other in verse 32. The first one in verse 31 is this: refusal to forgive results in emotional bondage. We're told in verse 31 that if we refuse to forgive, we will find ourselves in bondage to our own emotions, our own baser passions. Now, notice the words that Paul uses here in verse 31. Look again in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Let's consider these words briefly. Bitterness is the first word listed there. A bitter person is a person who has a sour, resentful spirit. A bitter person is a person who broods over the injuries that have been done to him or to her and refuses to forgive the person who has offended. That's bitterness. Does bitterness characterize your life? The second word is rage. Rage is a sudden outburst of passion. Are there times when you are guilty of rage? The next word is anger. This is a subtle feeling of antagonism. It will not go away. It may hide for a while, but it continues to resurface in your life. The next word is brawling. A brawler is a person who is characterized by violent outbursts, hot-tempered, yelling at other people. The next word is slander. Slander is abusive speech. It is translated in the King James Version of our Bible, evil speaking. It is speech designed to run somebody else down, to destroy their reputation, to speak ill of someone else, to do so falsely. And then the next word is malice. Malice is buried anger. It is a desire to inflict harm on someone else, either through our speech or through our actions. Now, these six words describe the person who is in emotional bondage. A person who is in slavery to his or her own passions. The fact of the matter is, this kind of emotional bondage doesn't always stay in the emotions or in the heart. It often manifests itself in physical ways. The muscles begin to tense. Sometimes the teeth may grind. The stomach may churn. Or other physical manifestations. This is bondage. And we don't have to live that way. We have a liberator, the Lord Jesus. Bishop Desmond Tutu, Bishop of the Anglican Church in the country of South Africa, wrote a book entitled No Future Without Forgiveness. And in this book, he describes three U.S. servicemen standing in front of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in our nation's capital. And one asked this question, "Have you forgiven those who held you as a prisoner of war?" And the other replies, "I will never forgive them." And the first veteran says, "Then it is certain they still have you in prison." And far too many of God's people are in the prison of emotional bondage. They refuse to forgive those who've injured them, who've grieved them, who've hurt them, who've slandered them, who've offended them in some way. I tell you, that's a deadly and dangerous way to live. To have a spirit of unforgiveness, a spirit of bitterness and anger and malice. I tell you what it's like. It's like drinking rat poison. And when you drink rat poison, the rat doesn't die, you die. Now, hold your place here in Ephesians chapter 4 and find for just a moment Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. For this very issue is dealt with in this verse. Hebrews 12, 14. Actually, it should be verse 15. Hebrews 12, 15. "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Do you see that? The writer of Hebrews says that bitterness can grow and will defile the person in whose heart it grows, but it will also defile the persons of those who are close to the person who is bitter. Defile many. How many people in our churches, this church, and a multitude of churches across our land have gotten bitter about something that happened at the church? Some decision that didn't go the way they wanted it to go. Some action that was taken that they disapproved of. Some disappointment. And they allowed a root of bitterness to take root in their heart. And it not only defiled them, it not only hindered their fellowship with God and their freedom in Christ, but as this verse says, defile many, defile the spouse, defile sons and daughters, defile friends who took up the offense that that person had in his or her life. Now, the word of Scripture is quite clear here. Look again in verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. How are you going to overcome a root of bitterness? How are you going to overcome the temptation to resent someone who offended you, wounded you, wronged you, hurt you, took advantage of you? Well, the answer is right here in verse 15. It is grace. It is the grace of God. Do you know that within ourselves, you and I do not have the capacity to overcome these injuries that come to us? It is not natural for the carnal, worldly, fleshly heart to forgive. Forgiveness is countercultural. Forgiveness is not natural, it's supernatural. And if you and I are going to experience forgiveness in our lives, if we're going to experience the forgiveness of God, if we're going to experience forgiving others who wound us and offend us and hurt us, it will be because and only because of the grace of God. You and I do not have the wisdom, we do not have the strength, we do not have the wherewithal within ourselves to forgive. We must cast ourselves upon the grace of God. We're talking today about forgiving grace. We're talking about freedom. Freedom. Now, refusal to forgive results in bondage, emotional bondage, bitterness, rage, anger, slander, malice. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're told in Ephesians 4:31, get rid of those emotions. Get rid of those sins. A refusal to do so is slavery. Now, there's a second principle I want you to see with me in this text for our consideration this morning. The second one is found in verse 32. It is this. The act of forgiving is a manifestation of God's grace. The act of forgiving those who wound us and injure us and hurt us is a manifestation of the grace of God. It is the supernatural working of the Spirit of God in our lives to enable us to do what we cannot do in and of ourselves. Look in verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do you see? These two verses are not just by happenstance situated one after the other. The problem is identified in verse 31. Bondage. The solution is identified in verse 32. Forgive as Christ forgave us. The act of forgiving is a manifestation of God's grace. C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. It's easy to talk about it, not easy to practice it. And I say again, impossible to practice apart from the grace of God. Oswald Chambers, who wrote that devotional classic, My Utmost for His Highest, said, forgiveness is the divine miracle of grace. It is a miracle. It is a miracle of God's grace. Now look again in verse 32. Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another. How are we going to do that? How are we going to show kindness and compassion to those who injured us, wronged us, hurt us, lied about us, slandered us, stolen from us, abused us, mistreated us, fired us, whatever the case may be? How will we show kindness and compassion to people who, you know, they qualify to be our adversaries, maybe our enemies? How do we do that? Well, you show kindness and compassion, look at the next phrase, by forgiving each other. We're to be kind and compassionate to those who injure us by forgiving them for or of their transgressions, their sins against us. Now, look again at this phrase in verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. This word translated forgiving is the same Greek word charis from which we get our word grace. Same word. You read in the Greek New Testament, you'll see it's pretty clear. Be kind and compassionate toward one another, gracing each other. Just as in Christ, God graced you. How did God in Christ grace us? Well, in a multitude of ways, but never more clearly, never more persuasively, never more powerfully than on the cross. God forgave us on the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, He took our sin. He took our guilt. He took our judgment. He took the wrath of a holy God against our sin. And so we are to forgive in the same way that God in Christ has forgiven us. We are to forgive as we see forgiveness manifested in the cross of Christ. Therefore, forgiveness is it's a call for God's grace. And when we forgive by the grace of God, then we're free. We're free from the bitterness and the rage and the anger and the slander and the malice. Lewis Smedes was for many years professor of ethics at Fuller Theological Seminary. In one of his books, he penned these words: "The first and often the only person to be healed by forgiveness is the person who does the forgiving. When we forgive, we set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner we set free was us." That's the message of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. When you and I are in bondage to our emotions, and the very thought of a person comes to mind, and it causes our blood pressure to rise, and it causes our pulse to quicken, and it causes us to feel a little upset, then we need to go to the cross and get some grace to forgive. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've got some objections." Well, here's some that are pretty common. Let's just think about a few objections. Someone says, "I would forgive, but I don't feel forgiveness in my heart." Well, try saying that to the tax man next April 15 when you say, "I'd pay my taxes, I just don't feel like doing it in my heart this year." It's not a matter of what you feel. It's a matter of the command of God. It's right here. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. You think this is tough? What Paul wrote to the Ephesians, think what Jesus wrote or said, quoted in Luke's gospel, also in Mark's gospel. He said, "Pray for those who despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you." It's not a matter of what I feel in my heart. It's a matter of simple obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and to what His Word teaches. So you say, well, you can say something like this: "Lord, I don't feel it. I don't feel forgiveness. I don't feel any kindness in my heart to this person. I don't feel any compassion. But by Your grace, I will forgive." You may have to say that a multitude of times before your affections catch up with your act of faithful obedience to the Word of God. A second objection is, they hurt me too deeply. The offense was too great. The wound was too severe. Verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. How did Jesus forgive me and you? Did He forgive us because we were so lovely, because we were so holy, because we were so pure, because we were so wonderful? Not if you believe the Word of God. We hurt Him, yet He still forgave us. He is the standard. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us grace, even those who have hurt us in the deepest kind of way. Another objection is they don't deserve to be forgiven. Indeed, they don't. But we're commanded to forgive others just as in Christ God forgave us. I didn't deserve for Jesus to forgive me, nor did you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't after we cleaned up our life and obeyed all the commands that Christ died for us to reconcile us to the Father. It was while we were still in rebellion against God. While our back was turned away from God. While we were walking away from God. God in Christ forgave us. No, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Your adversaries don't deserve it. But neither do you or I. We forgive others, number one, because God commands it. And whatever else we do, we want to obey the commands of God. And we forgive others, number two, because we forgive as forgiven. Jesus said, if you refuse to forgive, this is in Matthew chapter 6, if you refuse to forgive, your Father in heaven is not going to forgive you. There's something about having an unforgiving heart or spirit that puts us in a position where we are unable to receive forgiveness from God. The fact of the matter is that none of us deserve to be forgiven. Forgiveness is not about what you deserve. That's called justice. We're talking about forgiving grace today. Another objection is, if I forgive them, they're off the hook. In other words, this person has taken advantage of me, this person stole from me, this person slandered me, this person ruined my reputation, this person, whatever the offense may be, and it's like if I forgive them, they're somehow, they get to go scot-free, even though they're not repentant. You know, many times when we forgive people, they're not repentant. It's not that we have to wait till they repent. We pray they'll repent. We want them to repent. That is our desire, so they can have fellowship with God. But if we wait till they're truly repentant before we forgive them, then we may never forgive them because they may never repent. We need to remember it's not our responsibility to effect justice. There is a just judge of the universe, the Lord God Almighty, and He will see that justice is done. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said to the Roman Christians, do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. It is our responsibility to forgive, and it is God's responsibility to see that justice is done. And if the person who has injured us or hurt us or wounded us is unrepentant, and that person goes to his or her grave unrepentant, they will stand before a holy and righteous judge someday and receive the justice that they deserve. But you and I are looking for grace. We're looking for grace from God in our own lives, and we're looking to have grace from God that we might express the forgiveness of God toward others who have wounded us or injured us or offended us. Another objection is, if I forgive, I will never be able to forget. I may be able to forgive, but I will never be able to forget. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that when God forgives us of our sins, He separates them from us as far as the east is from the west. That's good for us to know that our sins are separated from us. But the Bible also tells us that when He forgives sins, He remembers them no more. Now, this poses a little bit of a theological dilemma, but it's a simple one to understand. The Bible tells us that God is all-knowing. God knows the past, the present, and the future. There's no bit of information, there's no bit of truth, there's no bit of anything that God doesn't know. So how can it be that when God forgives of our sins, He forgets them and remembers them against us no more? The fact of the matter is that when God forgives, He still knows the sin that you and I committed. But when he forgets them, He does not remember them against us. He does not hold those sins of which you and I have repented on our account. Our account is clean. We've been justified by the grace of God. And so that God doesn't bring it up over and over again because God does not hold it against us. In a similar way, when you and I forgive someone who has injured us, we may never be able this side of heaven to forget what they did to us. But we don't hold it against them. We don't use it against them. If we have forgiven them, we have released them from that offense against us. That's why we need the grace of God. God gives us the grace to forgive. Look again in verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving, or let's translate it, gracing each other, just as in Christ God forgave or graced you. Here's what it boils down to. Just four simple words. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice that you and I make. We don't forgive because they're worthy of our forgiveness. We don't forgive because they've groveled in the dust before us. We forgive because we are commanded in the Word of God to forgive. And we know that we can't do that in ourselves. It is a manifestation of the grace of God. It is a choice. It is a hard choice, but nevertheless, it is a choice. A choice impossible to make apart from the grace of God. Do you remember a few weeks ago in Maryville, Illinois, a lone gunman came in a worship service at the First Baptist Church of Maryville. And in cold blood, he shot the pastor, took his life. At the funeral service, a few days later, Cindy Winters, the pastor's wife and now widow of Fred Winters, stood before a congregation of 1,900 people at his funeral service. And among other things, she said these words, and I quote, "Fred and I talk so many times about how God is at work here in this church, doing incredible things. Nothing has changed. Our vision and purpose still remains the same." She went on to say, "I refuse to let Satan win. He's not going to steal my joy. He's not going to steal my passion. He's not going to steal my desire to spread God's word. I'm not going to hate, and I will work to carry out the mission of this church, and I know all of you will too. And I'm not going to survive this thing. I'm going to be a better person because of this thing." And then she quoted one of her two daughters, ages 13 and 11, as saying, and I quote, "I want to be just like my daddy. I hope the man who did this learns to love Jesus." And that is the grace of God. No more retaliation. No more getting even. No more revenge. No more getting justice. We need God's grace. A wise man said, we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. And we are most like Christ when we forgive. Pray with me. God in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Oh God, have mercy on us for any spirit of bitterness that we may have harbored, any spirit of revenge. God, we need your grace. Oh God, I pray for your grace to fill this church. May we be a grace-filled community of men and women who love Jesus supremely. Forgive us, God, for when we fail. Have mercy on us, God. And I pray for that man, that woman, that person in this room who is struggling, battling today with an unforgiving spirit. Oh God, would you flood that person's heart with your grace, that they might be set free from the emotional bondage that eats like a cancer in their soul. Oh God, grant it. I pray that this congregation would be a shining light of the grace of God to this community. In Jesus' name, amen.